Amen. Thank you, Jesus. As we let the guys just come in right now and take their place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is that all the guys right there? They're back in there. All right. Amen. As we prepare to get in this evening's word, amen. I'm going to start a new series now. We've been on the series on being the light of the world. And we've learned so much how the light of the world always wins. I don't care how much darkness there is, you can light up. You know, for some of you ex this and that, you can turn a lighter on it. It lights up some stuff, amen? Besides the darkness, amen? The light always wins, amen? The light always wins, amen? And sometimes we may be losing, feel like we're losing. But the truth is, we're on the winning team as long as we don't give up, amen? As long as we don't give up. Amen. We surely know that the Lord won't give up on us. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. I just give a props to Mac in the back row right there. You know, I kind of fired him up when he's been coming to all the Sunday services, and Jason started working with him on the side, and you know, he has his own business where he does a lot of work. He said, Pastor, I got to work on Wednesday stuff. So that's fine. You go to work earlier as long as you get out on time and you come to church. So we settled that one, amen. I said, what do you do, 20 hours a day? You know, but nevertheless, he took the challenge. He's been coming. He came in his work clothes, and it was like Superman jumping in the phone booth. It was that Wonder Woman, man, that came out, you know, in the cape and everything, and went downstairs. All of a sudden, he came in all looking all, you know, coming from work, and then he went downstairs, came up, and he was booted and suited and ready. So I want other women in the church to start taking this challenge of being used, amen. There's a time to be fed, and then there's a time to put to use, you know, what has nourished you and gotten to a place where you're able to start feeding people yourself. And everybody just don't get fed at the church nest, amen. But during the working hours and so forth, and wherever you're at during the day, you should be able to be leading people, making a difference in others' lives, amen. So there's a time you got to receive in order to give, amen. I just think some people just stay on the receiving end too long. Stay on the receiving end too long. And we're a ministry that serves in the front line and a doer of God's word. So I want to just give a good shout out there to Brother Mac. Let's give him a good clap offering here this evening, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got a little, you know, it looked like Alex was in a fishbowl there, you know, like one of those aquariums. You know those guys that do those big aquariums? It was like, looked like one. But anyhow, we're going to pretty soon put a curtains there, and this stage is going to be made high all the way up to here. It's going to be the same level, and we're doing all these things. Even though we have a few people, we're still walking by faith. I'm not here to save money in the bank. Believe me, if I would have done that, we probably would have had a lot of money in the bank and still been in that little storefront that hold 30 chairs, amen? But that's not the vision that the Lord has given us, amen? And I've never been one to play it safe. I didn't play it safe in the world, and I definitely don't play it safe. Not playing it safe in the world was dumb, not playing it safe in the Lord is faith, amen? It's not dumb, it's faith, amen? And so we have a lot of things. We still got to finish that up, put the padding, black trimming on the top, and stuff, more lighting and a lot of stuff. Tim's been pulling some all-nighters here at the church, and God has used a few of the men, amen, to get up and running what's taking place right now. But this is just a glimpse, a sneak preview of everything that we're going to be doing at this altar and everything, amen. So anyhow, I just want to thank everybody who had something to do with it. And I think the next one is going to be a challenge, a financial challenge, and having the work of the church and the faith of the church implemented into this equation here that to fix up this whole altar. We're going to make this place beautiful, amen, because it's the house of God, amen. So we're going into a new series now, and I believe this new series is for the older, the mid, the young, because you need to have a plan in your life if you want to fulfill something. You just can't have the plan. I was speaking to my son and Dante today. You got to have a plan on how you're going to get to that plan. Amen. You just can't have a plan. You just can't have a dream. Amen. Martin Luther King killed him. Amen. There's got to be vision. You got to go out there and do it. It's not going to come to you. You got to go and get it. So we're going to start a new series now. I want to be speaking on vision, on purpose. Amen. And I started reading up on it freshly today. Amen. Amongst a lot of things that I did today. But we're going to have an opening service here tonight. But we're still in the same theme that the time is now. And I put for tonight, the time is now to have vision. I believe by tonight you'll find out the importance of having vision. Amen. A vision that drives you. Amen. If you want to be successful, you're going to have vision. Amen. And we're going to see what vision is able to do when it's operating in one's life. We go to the very familiar scripture of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. If you don't have your Bible with you, all verses will be up and on the screens. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, another translation says, where there is no vision, amen, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, give you all the glory and all the honor. I just ask that you open up this night, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, Lord, Father God, and that you give us a plan of vision and fulfilling the purpose that you have placed in our lives, that they may be able to manifest, Lord, by us having vision and fulfilling what you have called us to do. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. I just took it for granted that it was going to say, but I was looking for where there is no vision, amen, the church perishes, amen? Where there is no vision. Let's go to John chapter 18, verse 37. You got to have a purpose in your life. You got to have a vision, amen? You got to be able to see it before you get there. You got to be able to see it, amen? When I go to Burger King, even though it's just a couple of blocks up the road, I see Burger King in my mind, and my mind navigates, okay, you got to make a ride, stay on National, don't go up Greenfield, amen, or go up Greenfield, don't go up National. And when I'm thinking Taco Bell, I still got to see Taco Bell in my mind, even though it's two blocks up the road, amen? So we got to know where we're going, and there's just too many people that wake up every day, just waking up to go to work another day, And you really don't feel good about your walk right now, and you're really not liking things. Things ain't happening the way you would want them to happen. It's not nobody else's fault but yours. Amen? You need to have vision. You need to fulfill the purpose within your life. And here in John, the example of examples, John 18:37, this is Jesus. Here is Pilate was speaking to him and says, you are the king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world. This was the reason, this was the purpose, amen, of Jesus, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, tells me that there's another side of lies that doesn't listen to what the Lord has to say. Amen? So here this night, we're coming to find out that there's a side of truth. And on this side, those are the ones that listen to the Lord. The side of truth. Amen? Who is Green Bay play next week? Giants, amen. On one side of the field is going to be the New York Giants, and on the other side of the field, it's going to be the Green Bay Packers. And they're going to be against one another, amen. In the same things with Jesus, there's a sideline on one side. It's the side of truth, the side of Jesus. And then it might be the visiting team, amen, because we're just pilgrims passing through, amen. This is not where we're going to remain. Eternity in heaven is where we're going to remain. And then there's the hometown, amen, the devil's team, amen, the side of lies. The Bible tells us to either be hot or cold. Come with the truth, come with the light. But anything in the middle, anything lukewarm, I'm going to spew out, I'm going to spit out. Here, Jesus has given us the green light to be all Jesus, to be about truth, or to be all about Satan, to be about lies. When I was running with the enemy, I was all about Satan. I wasn't out there slinging dope, drinking dope, slamming dope, smoking dope, and going to church on Sunday, right? When I was riding and running with the devil, amen, I was running with the devil, amen? Now that I'm in Jesus, now that I'm on the side of truth, and I'm following the order and the lead of the person of the Holy Spirit, amen. I don't just on Fridays and Saturdays go smoke a little bit of dope and then show up on Sunday and preach a message for you guys. I'm 24/7 now on the side of truth. Here this night, you're going to have to ask yourself, what side am I really on? You may feel you're on the side of truth. You're in the church of God. Amen? Come on, Pastor. It's Wednesday. I'm here tonight. We're going to go a little deeper. Amen? I believe by the end you're going to find out really whose team you're on. The team of truth or the team of lies. The Bible says, it was a verse that I knew wasn't in the Bible, but we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? The Bible we read and we learned when I was speaking about the light that in him is no darkness. In other words, in him is all truth. If Jesus says something, you can run to the bank with it. Amen? In him is no darkness. In him is all truth. Amen? And the Bible goes on to tell us in John 8:32 of what the truth is able to do. Amen? The Bible says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, I believe there's somebody here this night that even though you're in the house of God, in a place of truth, you can still be on the side of lies and not free. The Bible says that the truth of the Lord is able to set you free. Set you free to do what? Set you free to fulfill your purpose, what's stirring in your life, what you want to do. That's vision being stirred within you. That's faith being stirred within you that comes from the Lord. But the enemy, the father of lies, also has a strategy and a plan. He loves when he's able not only to have people in the street corner slinging dope and tripping and tweaking and all that 24/7, but he even loves it more when he got churches that are packed out, that are under lies. They're on the side of lies. And there's no freedom in the church. The Bible goes on to say in John 8:44, let's go there. I'm going to go there if I can read off my Bible. John 8:44. I'm going to read a little bit. And it just says, the Lord is the Father of all truth and there's no darkness in him. Here we're going to read that the enemy is the father of all lies. No truth can be found. Just as no lies or darkness can be found in Jesus, no truth or light can be found in Satan. Amen? We're off to a good start. The Bible says there in 8:44 that you belong to your father, the devil. That's pretty hard language right there, amen? I remember it was a while back, David opened that up with that verse on the opening of the scripture. Jamie says, we don't use verses like that. We open up your father, the devil. Let's stand and give the Lord a good clap offering, amen? Hey, we use the scriptures that we know we wrote, amen? But we learn and we grow. And I used to use every verse to chop people's head off, amen? That whole hour straight. And I would wonder why they wouldn't make the altar call. They were bleeding to death. I massacred them, amen? With God's word, amen? The Bible goes on to say here, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. The Bible says that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. There's no truth. There's no light in him and no truth in him. Amen? The Bible says when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So when we tell lies, is that something that comes from the winning side of truth? Or is that something that comes from the losing side of lies? I believe if we continue to lie long enough, this scripture starts off in 44, says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. And it's not talking about our heavenly father. It's talking about your father, the devil. So here we come to find out that Jesus is the father of truth and the truth is able to set you free. We come to find out that Satan is the father of all lies. Amen. And we lie long enough. Amen. We can be in church and still have a father called the devil. I put here, if you want to fulfill your God-given purpose, you're going to need to the truth that comes from Jesus. You're going to have to learn the truth. Amen? If you want to be obedient to your Heavenly Father, you're going to have to learn the truth. If you want to be on the sideline or on the team of the truth, you're going to have to learn God's word. And in the locker rooms and during the week, the football players learn all these NFL teams, down to high school teams, college teams. They learn all these plays in a classroom. They go over them over and over and over and over. They learn the plays. But then come game time, they got to now execute the plays. They just can't learn the plays. They got to then learn how to execute the plays. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. They learn the language of truth. They learn the language of Jesus. But when it comes time to execute and time for game day on Sunday, you're not able to walk it. You just know it. And the devil loves people that know God's word but can't walk it. So you can know the word of the Lord, and if you don't walk it, you're following, because we got to walk. We've been created to walk. Amen. We're going to be walking after the lies of the enemy, even though you know the truth. That's why people fell in the church. If that was not a truth, everybody would make it in the church. You need to learn God's word. Too many people trying to be successful outside of God's will. It just don't work. It don't work. Got to put Jesus in your plan, in your purpose. He is the one that has put the vision within your life. It's not Satan. Satan just steps in when you're not playing on the team of truth. Here, in John 8:43-44, the Bible 44 says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. Amen. I put here, truth carries out the desires of God, and lies carry out the desires of Satan. Every time we lie, and we say it with a smile on our face, because we're good at lying, and you say it with a smile, and I got you, Pastor, and you're lying. Amen. You stay in that mode long enough, your father is Satan. Because he's the one that operates off lies, half-truths, which still equal lies. Truth carries out the desires of God. Lies carry out the desires of Satan. A real famous quote here says, it is said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. You got to have a vision. You got to have a purpose. You got to have a plan for your life. Any one of y'all can come to me and I can help you in this area. I'm good at this area. 20 years of experience in this area of what works and what don't work. Amen? You would think I'd be getting paid big dollar. Amen? Big benefits. Well, I may not be getting paid the big dollars, but I got big, big benefits, amen. I got God's benefits for my life, amen. It is said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. What's worse, you won't even know when you have arrived, when you get there. What's even worse is not knowing when you've arrived. This is what takes when Jesus is out of the equation. Because the enemy wants to promise that he's going to hook you up. That he's going to double up some street slingers, amen? He's going to have you come up, double up. You're going to be about something. Everybody's going to see he's a deceiver of the brethren. That is his task. That is his purpose, is to deceive you from the truth of the winning side called Jesus. He's a deceiver. And it always looks easier to do it his way. But it comes with great consequences of losing year after year, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years of your life. Because it seems the easier way to do it outside the truth of Jesus. He'll convince you that it's the cooler way, the more fun way, the cheaper way. That not tithing is the cheaper way. That not tithing will get you to your purpose quicker. That not tithing will leave money in your pockets. He's a deceiver. When the Lord wants to give you 30, 60, 100 back and what you put in. You want to be a top-notch businessman? Learn how to give tonight. You want to be a top-notch successful person? Learn how to be a giver. There's people that are not even godly people, and they still know that the act of sowing and reaping works. They give to charity. They know it works. So we're speaking about purpose here this night, vision here this night. There's two sides. Father of all truth, which is Jesus' side of the field, and then we have the father of all lies, which is the other side of the field called Satan. If you want to fulfill and you want the truth of the Lord to set you free, you're going to first have to learn His Word. You're going to have to learn His Word. There's no way around it. You cannot be successful in Jesus outside of His Word, outside of prayer. You can have good things. You can climb the ladder, but you're not going to remain there. And it's going to be man that's advancing you. It's not going to be God taking you from glory to glory. I want God to bless my life. I want it to be made known that God has kept me, not some paycheck, not some woman. But God has kept me all these years. Truth carries out the desires of God. Lies carries out the desires of Satan. You need to know where you're going here this night. Coming to church is not the full answer to where you're going and what God has for your life. Once again, it is said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Many people in the houses of God not knowing where they're going. No purpose, no vision. What's worse, when you know when you don't even know when you have arrived. The problem is most people have no vision beyond their current circumstances. Jesus knew his purpose. Amen. Go to John 18:37 again, please, where we second from the start. This is right before the cross. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. Jesus knew his purpose. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. In other words, there's another side that's called the lies that listen to Satan. Jesus had a purpose. He knew his purpose. In Jeremiah, very familiar scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, everybody quotes this scripture. It's a powerful scripture. The Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you. I'm not going to quote everything, amen. I know the plans I have for you. Other scripture says that God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, amen. God has a purpose for your life. He has a vision for your life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Not man, but declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Keep that in your mind. Hope and a future. Hebrews 11:1, very familiar scripture. The Bible says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's faith within our lives, vision that stirs within each and every one of our lives, but we need to nourish the purpose and the vision as individuals that God has given us. And it comes through prayer. It comes through his word. It comes to being active. Not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Too many people going off simply by what they see. It is vision I put here. It is vision that makes the unseen visible. It is vision that makes the unseen visible. It's like when we say, I know. Pastor, even though it hasn't happened, I know. It is vision that makes the unseen visible and the unknown possible. What stirs vision? What stirs faith? is being on the side of the team of truth. It's to prosper you. God wants to prosper you, but so does the enemy. But the only difference is when God says he wants to prosper you, he's going to prosper you. When the enemy says he wants to prosper you, he's the father of all lies. And if you continue to believe the enemy, your father is Satan, the scripture says that we read. It is vision that makes the unseen visible and the unknown possible. I put here, vision also makes suffering, disappointments, failures bearable. I have the vision, and that's why I'm able to put up with all kinds of stuff. From not only inner city people, but suburb people. I have the vision of our ministry. The personal vision and purpose that God gave my life. When it came to me and it was stirred within me when the preaching started, that very service that I walked into Victor Alvarez Salinas, something was taking place within my life. It was like I was almost like getting ready to fix. Like it was that feeling that where I was almost going to get ready to get high. Something was moving within my life that I did not understand, but I knew it was certain, and it was bringing now a hope. It was giving me thoughts that were positive. This stirring, like I was about to go get high. And I was. I've been getting high. I always say I've been getting high now for 20 years. High, most high. I'm loaded right now. Strung out on Jesus. That was a preaching that took place. Long Cone says, I'm hooked on Jesus and I don't want to be saved. I don't want to help. I don't want to rehab. I'm hooked on Jesus. Fernie Franco. Phenomenal message he gave. I'm hooked on Jesus, and I don't want help. Who needs help here this night? Maybe you're not hooked on Jesus yet. I had nothing to lose when I came straight from the prison system. I got out on a Saturday. Sugar Mama picked me up. Drove me all the way back. It was about a five-hour drive. And that next morning, Sunday morning, I wanted to impress Sugar Mama. I said, we're going to church. And as I thought, as I was getting over the Sugar Mama, God was working a counter move on that, amen, when God, it's what we call the Holy Ghost set up. Where hope and truth was presented to my life through God's living word. And I hadn't looked back and say, I have not been able to do nothing right all my life. And even when I was doing good, I couldn't do good. I couldn't quite try to put the dots together. Vision also makes suffering and disappointments and failures bearable. See, if you ain't got the vision, you said, man, I'm leaving church. Skip what the pastor said, man. You ain't got the vision. My girlfriend don't want to be with me no more. My boyfriend don't want to be with me no more. That's it. I'm going back to the world. You ain't got the vision. You have not yet caught the vision. You'll rather go back to the side of the team of lies as if you had the victory there at one time. Story I got from a book in the mid 20th century in Bangkok, Thailand, amen. The government wanted to build a big highway, but the highway was going to go through a city where there was a Buddha temple, amen. So in order for them to do it, they agreed, this true story, they agreed, and they moved the whole temple with cranes and everything. But within the temple, there was an 11-foot clay statue of Buddha. Amen? And as they were moving this 11-foot statue that weighed tons and tons with the crane to the new location to build this highway, it started chipping. Buddha started chipping. The clay started coming off, and they started getting all worried because it was said that that statue was worth $50,000. It was a clay statue of Buddha, 11 foot high. And finally, when they got it to its destination, by the time they got it in the temple and everything, so much of the clay fell off that they would soon find out that just the outer layer was made of clay, but the whole 11-foot body, a statue of Buddha, was solid gold. It was solid gold. Worth millions and millions and millions. I believe that many of us are living as clay vessels when we really have gold within us. The Bible says, I put here, I just wrote it in right now before when I got it. We're treasures out of darkness, treasures out of darkness. I've been on the winning side, doing it the Lord's way for 20 years now. And in my roughest hour, roughest times, I still have the victory. Why am I able to bear all these things, the good and the bad? Not just the mountaintops, but the valley times, the trench time, when it comes time to dig in? Because I have the vision. When you have vision, it will keep you. Vision will keep you. You need to know that if you want to be successful, there's going to be setbacks in your life. There's going to be hard times in your life. And what the vision does, it keeps you on track. No matter what the people are trying to do, no matter what Satan's trying to do, the vision, when you got a vision and you're fulfilling purpose in your life, it keeps you on track because you're certain what God has done and moved within your life. And you're certain that if you go back to Satan, you're going to lose everything all over again. And biblically sound says even seven times worse. I believe with all my heart, when you have no vision, you will simply relive the past with its disappointments and failures. When you have no vision, you'll walk around pouting all the time, speaking negative all the time, but still wanting the best for your life. You still want the best. You still feel you deserve the best. You feel like crud, but you still want the best. You don't want to put into nothing. You don't want to get committed. You don't want to do it God's way. You don't want to walk in truth. You don't want to study. You don't want to pray. But you still want the best. The lies of Satan cannot offer you the best. The lies of Satan can only offer you disappointment after disappointment, after failure, and death. For the wages of sin is death. I believe with all my heart, when you have no vision, no purpose, you will simply relive the past with its disappointments and failures. The past. Or the point I used last Sunday, be careful that the fight you're fighting is the one before you and not behind you. Therefore, vision is the key to your future. If without vision and purpose, all you do is go back to your past, if you really want to be successful then, You're going to need the vision that comes from Jesus that deals with your future, Jeremiah. I hope it. Let's take me back to that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Your vision deals with your future. For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Too many always going back to the past simply because you have no purpose, you have no future. You have no purpose, you have no vision. Too many want to still prosper. Amen. Too many want a good future, but you're doing nothing about it. Question. Do you get up every morning with a sense of anticipation? Like, man, like when I used to wake up with the devil, I knew I was going to get high that day. Whether I woke up with a wake up or I woke up with money or no money, I was going to get high. Year after year after year proved that I could get up dead sick with no money, get my hustle on, and tear it up. When 75 pounds soaking wet, months without taking a bath, no food in my gut, looking like helter-skelter, looking like bad. And I could still bring in hundreds and hundreds of every day to fix all day long. I woke up with an anticipation every day in darkness. Under the lies of the enemy, I had an anticipation that I knew I was going to get high. I got to the place where I thought God was hooking me up to get me high. Because there was times where I was so sad, I said, God, please, just hook me up, man. I'll turn myself in, man. I'll get it right, please, God. I said that prayer so many times, I thought God was answering my prayers. And shooting me up and ODing me and all that, taking me to prison. Do you get up every morning with a sense of anticipation and meaning? Because you know you're doing what you've been born to do. Or do you wake up, shoot, man, time to go to work. Oh, man, I'm done with this stuff. I would have to say you have no vision, no purpose. Some of you are getting some good revelation right now. I would have to say maybe it's not the pastor's fault. Most people that go to work hate going to work. Amen? I wake up with an anticipation. I'm not some holy human, amen. I still got to get up. I got to go. I'm taking lives. Marlene's there in California at the Women's Convention. I'm taking lives. Today was picture day. And she called me last night. Do you know what to do? Do you know what? I said, come on, Marlene, man. I know you take care of Elias, but I can pull it off. I think I can pull that off. So I got up, man. I got the best shirt, man. I ironed that sucker like it was for me. Like I was going out on my first date or something, right? It was for my boy. I was going to make him look good. I never put hairspray on his hair or gel and all. Man, this morning, I was going to prove my wife wrong. I was going to take a selfie with my little Eli. I was going to shoot it to California. I said, now what? And Elias was just, I said, close your eyes. He was there. And I would look at it, and I said, man, if it gets windy, close your eyes again. Man, I picked him up at 3 p.m, and his hair still hadn't moved a muscle. It was still all intact. I said, my God, that's a good job. I said, man, that's some good hairspray. I really put a lot. One out of the 20 cans my wife got in that restroom. One is empty now. So I go outside. I'm so happy. We go outside, man. I'm looking tore up, but Elias is looking good. Amen. I said, get on your knee. The son of mine. Well, turn this way, man. We're taking a selfie. Now get over here with me. I get over here, and I want you to smile. I had a bone to pick with my wife, man, thinking I couldn't do this. So, we know how we can put on that professional look and say, hey, I'm on the flesh with Elias, man, because he don't want to take a selfie picture with me. So, I smile, Elias, you're not smiling. He just lost his tooth, his first tooth. I said, come on, I want to see a gap in your mouth. Smile, Elijah. And he's like, so you see the picture after, I'll show it to you, and you'll see that he has a fake smile that he did. So was mine, but mine looked more professional. I had more practice than he has. With some of you, me so much practice, how to keep a poker smile. Oh, my God, when I feel like slapping you upside the head. Say, what? I mean, Elijah, I was there getting the best angle. We're there. We're a little late. Smile, Elijah. My God, I said, get in the van. I got my proof, man. I felt like I was taking pictures of the puppies outside trying to sell a dog. I send it later on, hours there. My wife goes, oh, how sweet, how perfect. That was the right shirt. I said, man, I didn't even answer the text. I had a purpose last night that I was going to prove my wife wrong. I had a vision. I was able to see it before the dawn came that morning, amen? How I was going to attack the plan. I had a vision. I had a purpose. I seen them all shined up. He'd never got his face washed that good since I don't know when. I said, keep your head still. They were a little dingy, and I was trying to bring out the rosy cheek, the Alex look out of him, amen? Do you get up every morning with a sense of anticipation and meaning? Because you know you're doing what you've been born to do. You can wake up anticipation and be in the rehab home. Or you can wake up and say, man, I can't wait the last day I get out of here. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Blue's Clue, red flag. There are 6 to 7 old points here also. 6 to 7 billion people on earth. And every last one of these 6 to 7 billion people have different fingerprints, amen? We all got different fingerprints. That's a mind blower. That's the God we serve. The value of something is how rare it is, amen? The value of something is how rare it is. To get pearls, the real deal pearls, that they're not in abundance, amen? They're rare. Some are priceless. And all of them are very, very expensive because they're rare. Diamonds. Diamonds take forever to make a diamond, amen? I always tell the rehab, what makes a diamond? Heat, time, and pressure is what makes a diamond. Nobody likes the heat. Nobody likes to do the time. And nobody likes pressure, but it's what makes a diamond. So that's why diamonds are very valued and expensive. Gold, you know, it's just don't. You can't go to Pick and Save and get some. Amen. Gold is rare and it's expensive. Oil. They gotta dig for miles. They gotta dig out for oil. Just we got some oil over here. No, they gotta go digging. There's places where I grew up in where there's millionaires now, a couple of acres away from our acres that we owned that had oil in the land. They got that land for practically free. Texas oil, amen? It's rare. And I end with this. God wanted you to be rare and valuable. He created you as one of a kind. There's not another you. You are rare here this night. And not only are you rare, there's only one of you. You can't go find another one of you. You're rare. Out of 6-7 billion people, there's not another you. You're rare. You're valuable because you're rare. but only valuable in the hands of God. When you have vision in your life, when you have purpose, you'll put up with anything to get to that place that God has called you to get to. No one has the same fingerprints. There's no other you. And the enemy wants to deceive you here this night. And doing you your way. You think by the deceiving powers of the enemy that you can get to that place of honor by not doing it the Lord's way. By still doing what you're doing on the side when the Lord is the one that's going to prosper us. The Lord is not going to prosper an individual that is going to use his anointing improperly. I don't care how smart you get, how big you get. Big monster pastors have crashed through pride or whatever. It comes through a great fall, amen? Here this night, you're special. You're rare. You're valuable. Our ministry right now is worldwide in over 33 countries right now. Because we're setting up shop like we have here. Amen? We have a vision, a worldwide international vision where God is using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise because we're rare. It's rare in finding a drug addict now that is a pastor, a leader, a sister, a brother in the church that has the not just saved but sanctified. Have gone through the process of the cleansing and the washing. Jamie real soon is going to be going to Florida and his wife. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. It's the purpose and the vision for his life. I know Jamie like the back of my hand. I know him better than he thinks I know him. There's some things I've never told them because it'd probably get them mad at me. Amen? I know him better than he thinks I know him. Because I've examined him now for a lot of years. He's gone through a lot of hard times. But through it all, that purpose at one time got dormant. It kind of went to, you know, it just wasn't pounding in him no more. But because it was from God. Amen, because it was from God. It wasn't going nowhere, amen. It was for his life to fulfill, along with his beautiful wife, Tammy. Tammy's still being used, but she's not my go-to sister no more in the church. Not because I don't want to use her. It's just that I got to start training up others to fill her shoes. He has the purpose and the vision of our ministry and for his life. Does that mean you, he's made it? No, man. He's still got to deal with some fortified walls of Jericho when he gets there. Amen. But the vision and the purpose of God within his life will bring those walls down. Because he's going to put up what he needs to put up with in order to fulfill the purpose and the vision that God has given him. And has equipped them to do, to be successful, to prosper him, even in the hellhole, even in the worst of worst times, the land of Goshen, where all the plagues and everything was coming on the people of Egypt there, nothing touched those of God that were in the land of Goshen. As I get the keyboard player up here, you got to ask yourself, if you're not really have a, and you can have a plan, it can still not be God's plan. Don't think if you ain't praying and reading, what you want to do is God's plan. You couldn't get that lucky in a million years. Anybody can put a spin and call it God. You need to know that if there's a Father of all truth, there's a Father of all lies, and he's real. I testify that the devil, not only Jesus is well and alive, the devil's well and alive too. He's real. It's not hard you can hit. It's how hard you can take a hit. As we stand this day, you have a purpose in your life. There's a vision within you. And within our ministry, you have everything to make it. It's raw. It's cut. I'm going to be speaking for the next couple of months on vision. You got to have a plan, people. And within your plan and strategy, you got to spend time with the Lord. He wants to prosper. He wants to bless you. He wants what you want for your life. Oh, in the name of Jesus, right there where you're at, right there where you're at. You may not even know your purpose that God has for your life. I want to let you know, start reading, start praying, and it will come. But right there where you're at, I want you to think with the Lord right now and ask yourself, what is my purpose? If you already know what it is, are you in stride, in step with the person of the Holy Spirit in order to achieve that purpose? And if you don't know what your purpose is yet, there's nothing wrong with that. Tonight's a good place to start. I want you just from your heart to ask the Lord, Lord, what is my purpose? I feel a stirring within me. I don't know what it is. I know it's you. But I'm still unsure of a lot of things, uncertain of a lot of things, confused about a lot of things. And that might be a truth here this night. But the Lord, he's not confused. He's in full control. And he's looking into your heart, because vision comes from the heart. And he's looking right now. Mr. Vision himself is looking into your heart right now and saying, does this heart really want to serve me, or does this heart really not want to serve me? And sometimes we just need to surrender. It's okay to let the Lord win. That's a good thing. Right there where you're at, I want you to have a conversation with the Lord. You can do it from your heart. Don't even have to open your mouth. Some of you might have to repent right now where you stand. You've gotten off track. You allow something to step in on the race that you were running. You have stopped fighting the good fight. Just ask the Lord here this night. He wants to connect with you. He wants to connect with you here this night. He wants to grant your heart's desires, Scripture says. But he's asking here this night, are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to go beyond just knowing me? But are you willing to pick up your cross, deny self, and follow me? It's an action. He has enough theologians in all these big churches in the city. He's looking for doers of his word, faithful servants. And I know we have some here this night. Father, I ask that you touch that man. that you touched that woman, Lord Father God. Did you just blow their mind here this night, Lord? For your word says you have not because you ask not. Did you just blow their mind, Lord Father God? Did you bring a stirring within their heart, Lord? That purpose start getting stirred, that faith start getting stirred within their heart. And that tonight they open up the Bible and they read a few verses tomorrow morning. They make an appointment with you and read some more verses and spend 5 minutes with you, Lord. That they start slowly but surely lining themselves up with you, Lord. The giver of vision, the giver of purpose. Oh, in the name of Jesus. So that you can prosper that man. So that you can prosper that woman, Lord. That they stop wasting time, Lord. That they stop wasting time, Lord. In wishful thinking. We thank you this night, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. And I pray that every man, woman, and youth here this night be stirred, Lord. Be stirred, Lord, tonight. That you initiate, Lord, Father God, a conversation. That you bring a thought from the message back into the remembrance, Lord. That it be you that speaks it, not me, but you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. Hallelujah. Keep the women in prayer. They're all in California and everything right now. Invite somebody this Sunday. Let's pack it out this Sunday. Invite somebody, amen. God bless and have a beautiful evening, what remains, amen.